Hello and welcome to the 17th episode of Invalid Opinions, where being wrong can make it oh so right. This is the final episode of the Skywalker saga. Yes, final. We'll be talking about that shortly. But in the meantime, I'm Simon Potter.
I'm David Holloway.
I'm Ben McJanet.
And yes, final. For now, probably. Maybe. It's a bit like Disney. It's a bit like Disney in the making up the final episode of the Skywalker saga when the final episode of the Skywalker saga was, what, 2005? Episode 3, I think?
Yeah.
Penultimate.
But, so, yes, final episode for now in the context that, yeah, until Disney feel like making another trilogy and then that'll be the new final episode of the Skywalker saga. So, David, our Skywalker saga, we are winding this up. You had some thoughts?
Yeah, so, and for those close followers of the podcast, which are close to zero, we actually gave a bit of a hint in the episode title of last episode, which was called The Penultimate Consumption. Basically, we've all fallen out of love with each other. The constant fighting and bickering behind the scenes has led to us just deciding not, no, that's not it, is it? We actually get on.
Yeah, weird.
No, it's basically...
We do tolerate each other.
We do tolerate each other. No, it's a combination of factors. All of us doing a whole bunch of different things at the moment. It's fair to say since the merge from Flashpoint to Invalid Opinions, where some of our audience members may not have followed us, because, and understandably so, if you're focused on a gaming podcast, you don't necessarily want to hear about Brexit and... you know, what I'm up to in my day-to-day life or whatever it is. So it's a combination of things, but it basically we need to call it quits, I think, for a while. Although, as you alluded to, Simon, maybe in the future we might do the odd episode. So, for example, if Simon actually ever completes a character through Star Wars The Old Republic, that would be a milestone that you'd have another episode for.
Oh, already done that. Let's have a podcast next week.
Oh, really? When did you pull that one off?
Oh, ages ago. Finished the
Have you learned how to use supers in Destiny 2?
Yeah, because that was my other go-to, yeah.
yeah, but the funny thing is I still generally don't use them because I never got into the habit.
That's right. It's the muscle memory, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not an absolute horrible final, this is it, although what you'll probably find is the Invalid Opinions site will probably go, and if we were to ever do a reunion special or something like that, it's more likely to happen on the Flashpoint feed, which is, believe it or not, still there, all 143 episodes.
That content hasn't dated at all.
No, absolutely not.
Although, never. To be fair, the ODS one segments are probably still current, although most of it's probably legends now since Disney wiped out the EU. But we won't talk about that because Disney are our overlords and they are glorious and wondrous overlords to behold.
On the ODS at one stuff, I have I spent some time a few months back. I've accumulated all them in a folder and one day I will put them into separate episodes because I think it'd be great to have them as standalones. I think they're brilliant.
Don't tell him that. He's insufferable, you know that.
That's right. So, yeah, look.
He hasn't been let out of his box since he moved to the UK, though.
No, that's true.
Well, Disney has still got him in storage. I think he's one aisle down from the Ark of the Covenant.
Mm. It's probably a good place to keep him. He's a bit of a dick.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So it's a bit of an end of an era, but, I mean, in one guise or another, well, Simon and you and I can't even remember what year it was now. I know we went through it at the end of Flashpoint, but let's say 2012 or 13. So it's been, five, six, maybe 7 years.
God, I've wasted my life.
Yeah, that's right. But I think it's fair to say from my viewpoint, it's been a bloody pleasure working with both of you, to say the least. And I said, I can't see us never doing a podcast together
again. I thought you said you weren't going to lie to us anymore.
Yeah, look... I'm actually in love with you both.
Off to a good start.
And the reason I'm calling quits, it was not... I thought we're calling quits so that we could actually move into this polygamous relationship without the conflict of interest of the podcast.
Ah, dear.
Yeah, I don't think I'm ready for the whole brother-husband thing going on. No, that's I don't live in the right part of the US for that.
That's funny. Brother-husband. I've not heard that before.
Well, sister-wife. You're familiar with that?
Yeah, yeah.
I assume. Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, see, I'm original.
It's the other way around.
I flipped it, see? That's what I did. I'm clever. I'm really super clever.
You should go out on your own. That's what I'd be doing. It'd be a bit like Frasier going out after Cheers. Frasier was more successful than Cheers, I think. So that's what your destiny is.
Anyway, moving on to similar disasters. The New Zealand volcano, we probably should just acknowledge that. Ben, you were going to comment on the recovery efforts than just the amount of bravery that's involved by some of those people.
Obviously, without going into too much detail, because it's kind of a sad story, but like the New Zealand volcano erupted. I can't remember the exact number of people affected by it off the top of my head, but the 8 bodies that were trying to recover from the volcano on Friday, I think it was, and they managed to recover 6 before they had to evacuate the volcano again. So there's still 2 bodies missing, but just the bravery and the risk factor that they're taking in recovering these bodies is just amazing to me. I'd love to see like a documentary of how the whole recovery process went, and just the effect. It'd just be a really fascinating story, I think. There's still obviously 2 more bodies to recover. Fingers crossed that they managed to do that safely and soundly. They successfully recovered the 6 the other day, and they airlifted them to the ship that was off the coast of the island. So, that's pretty much all I really wanted to say on it. I think it's just a fascinating story just to continue watching.
Yeah, it is it's amazing when you think about it, because that thing is still, well, obviously it's active, but it's still puffing out stuff, and there could be it could pop again.
Well, that was the big concern, was they were saying it looks likely it will go again while you are in there. So you have to be quick and good. Like, you know, they've got to get in and out real quick. And to recover the 6 that they did in a matter of hours on Friday morning, incredibly impressive. Hats off to them. So
that is one of the things that people don't tend to think about. If you live in Canterbury, New Zealand, you're very much aware of it. But the country is very seismically active. For anyone who wasn't aware, Christchurch had a series of devastating earthquakes. And since February,
they were in 2011, the really big ones, weren't they?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, because it was just after the floods here in Queensland, and then the tsunami in Japan was around that time as well?
Yeah, there was a series of events actually worked their way around the plate. The earthquakes in New Zealand were one of them. But since that time, February 22nd, 2011, Christchurch has had more than 10,000 quakes of one sort or another. So just because you hear about aftershocks, you think, oh yeah, there's maybe half a dozen and then it's over with. No, it's not. Absolutely, it is not. So it's the fact that they are going in into something so recently active, violently active, I think is remarkable and needs to be saluted, because that, I'm not sure I'd have that much courage.
And agreed.
It's crazy. It really is.
And the other shout out, aside from the front line, and I know the majority were dealt with in New Zealand initially, but I know Australian burns units are now totally overwhelmed with patients because of this. And I've never done burns nursing myself, but I understand some of the mechanics of it, and it's an incredibly intense, comprehensive type of nursing and medicine that you need to do. And they're dealing with more clients or patients than they probably ever usually have to deal with at once. So those guys are incredible as well.
Yeah. And just on the related subject, what about the fires? How's the situation there in Australia?
Look, and we won't get into the climate change thing, but even if you pull that out of the equation, it's one of I mean, I've only been on the earth 50 years. This is easily the worst bushfire season I've ever experienced. And I grew up predominantly in the country first 22, 23 years. And then the last 25 on the coast, I've never experienced anything like this, particularly as far as smoke. So
I can't recall anything as big as this. Like, there's obviously the Canberra bushfires, and I think it was the Victorian, what do they call it, Black Friday fires in Victoria as well. They were big, but nothing to this scale ever. That's lasted this long either, I should say. No. Like, it's been like 3-4 weeks of this thing.
Yeah, and I think as of tonight, there's over 100 fires burning just in New South Wales. So basically most of north of Sydney right up to, I'm actually not sure how, but in equivalent, it'd be the equivalent of probably two or three of the smaller US states burning. And I emphasize smaller, so it's not like a California size, but it's equivalent to those California bushfires probably.
Once in a lifetime sort of fire situation, that's for sure.
And to give you an indication I ordered an air purifier 3 or 4 nights ago because I've got a child that's got asthma and I get a little bit of it, but the smoke haze is starting to affect things a little bit. I did the research, found one of the better air purifier manufacturers that sell online, an Australian company, and basically they've sold out of everything except for one model and have now put a one unit per customer limit on it because they're obviously copping orders of 20 or 30 for people to resell them at probably exorbitant profits.
Yeah. Oh, geez. Okay, well, that's that sounds pretty serious. So moving on to, I was going to say a lighter topic, but from David's perspective, not putting words in your mouth, but from David's perspective, this is probably another disaster, the UK election.
See, I don't know that it is, right? So the optimist in me, right, and yeah, I mean, as you guys only know too well, Boris has won. He won by what? I don't know, Simon, if they finalise a count, but something like 50 or 60 seats?
The Conservatives ended up with 365 seats. The Labour Party just scraped past 200 and got 203.
Yes.
And the SNP got 48. And with the Liberal, anyone past that isn't really worth talking about.
No. So, but let's say he's got a majority of, 50 to 70 seats. So, look, the optimist in me goes on a few perspectives. He's not Donald Trump, and I mean that in a positive way. He now has a clear mandate to do whatever the hell he's promised to do. Yes, he's still got to get the negotiations with the EU finalised, but at least from a parliamentary viewpoint, he's much more assured of getting something through. He's at least there's some clarity on what's going to happen. Now, Jeremy Corbyn looks like one of the world's most boring men. Yes, he did have an agenda from a health and looking after the homeless viewpoint, I think. I can't believe they voted against it, but I think he was way too far left for what the mood and the Brexit thing overshadowed, although that policy detail anyway. So I wasn't surprised he won. I was a bit surprised how much he won by. Although after the Australian election, I shouldn't be surprised.
No. Ben, you got any thoughts?
No.
Well said.
Not really.
Well said.
I'm like, you guys are still talking about Brexit, huh? Okay.
Yeah. Cool. No wonder we're wrapping up this podcast.
Is there anything else exciting going on in British politics? No, not really. Okay, cool.
Oh, well, no, there's been riots and, well,
have you got Disney Plus yet? No? Okay, cool.
No, not till March. No,
That's more interesting to me.
Well, I'm looking forward to it coming, so I don't subscribe to it. I'm looking forward to not subscribing to Disney Plus. It's going to be great.
To be honest, I haven't subscribed to it yet in Australia. David, we talked about it. Did you?
Yeah, absolutely. We'll talk about that later. Yeah, absolutely. Just briefly on Brexit. So, and the whole, is the world going to end? You're not going to know the impact on Britain for at least, what, 2 or 3 years? And it'll either go somewhere between what the Doctor Who dude, the writer that just did that Years and Years TV series, which I highly recommend. It'll either go that way and it will go to shit in a major way, or it won't. That there'll, the market will adjust, the UK will adjust, Scotland may still stay in the Union, and it may just potter along. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I have to be honest. I'm not really a unionist in that. I think it's inevitable and probably a good thing if Northern Ireland does reunify with the Republic. I think the Scots do need a referendum because just saying no referendum for you, no referendum for you, is a bad idea. I don't believe in suppressing people's opinions because that very seldom has a positive outcome. They did, and they decided to stay with the UK. But it's interesting watching Nicola Sturgeon, the leader of the Scottish Nationalist Party, trying to use getting a referendum. She wants a legally binding referendum. So oddly enough, that will mean that Westminster will have to cede more power to the Scottish Parliament. Funny that it's almost like she's using this as leverage and an excuse so that she can get more power. I'm sure that's not the case. Maybe I'm being cynical, but a politician wanting more power.
Never heard of it.
No, me either. So, yeah, wild and crazy.
Far-fetched.
Just on the subject of Jeremy Corbyn, that was the leader of the Labour Party here in the UK. He and his little friend John McDonald, they're both hardline socialists, and I think to a large degree they scared, apart from being dithering on the whole Brexit issue, where people just want, are you for it or against it? And that was it, really. It was also a case of they wanted to re-nationalise a lot of industries in this country, and that would have been a disaster because they did that in the 70s and Britain ended up, it took Thatcher coming in and making a lot of really harsh and draconian decisions that had to be made to some degree to sort the country back out again. So, it's basically, it was forward to the past. And I think there's a lot of people got scared off by that. The idea of nationalisation, quite frankly, I thought was a course to complete insanity. Mm. So regardless of anything else, that was just, that would just screw the country, especially when we're talking about splitting away from the European Union.
Yeah.
That would kill everything horribly. The level of uncertainty, because basically with nationalism, the government does a forced buyout of private industry. And, you know, forced buyouts, you basically get what you're given because it's the law. You have to accept what... Yeah. So, I mean, investment would just flee from the country at that point. So, yeah. Anyway, but that's enough of that.
The only thing I wanted to mention briefly is I saw an interesting post, and it will be brief because you'd need to start.
This is why we only have 19 listeners.
That's right. That's right.
I'm bored and I was talking.
is the voting system. So I've seen lots of criticism about the first past the post system. I tend to agree with that criticism. Wouldn't have made a difference to this outcome, but you might have ended up with a slightly more diverse parliament where people that did vote for particular other parties might have seen a representative, whereas, you know, there's hundreds of thousands of votes that essentially went down the drain because there's no preferential system. But that's for another time and another podcast.
For anyone that is interested in the concept of proportional representation, I'd point you to do a bit of a search on how that all worked out in New Zealand and the complete shit show that turned into.
Yeah, but note, so, I didn't say proportional representation. I said preferential voting. Big difference.
You're looking at those figures and Your point is well made, sir.
Yeah, gold.
So we'll step away for
a... But this is making minute. People glad that the thing's finishing. See, this is all transitioning people. All right, music. If I could be asked on the last episode.
I hate you so much. So, we'll step away for a brief Glockenspiel interlude, and we'll be back with some games and movie-related stuff, woo-hoo! Which is less tedious. See you soon. And we're back. And thank you very much, David, for finding that Glockenspiel solo of, what is it? Oh, it's a man, Joy of Man's Desire or whatever the EU national anthem is. Yes, they've got a national anthem.
Oh, really?
Kill me
Shouldn't
now.
Shouldn't it be international because it's all in one country?
No.
I think it's really cool you dragged the boring shit through to the second segment. I think that's well
done. Oh, yeah. I don't know how. He's managed to do it. I don't know how, but he has.
Oh, I'm nothing if not tedious. Now, speaking of things which are completely opposite to tedious, something that is exciting and pretty damn amazing. Microsoft at the Games Awards showed the box, the Xbox Series X. How impressed were you guys? Tell me now.
I was surprised. I think it's a ballsy move announcing the official name and the look of the console at a Game Awards show. I'll say that for a start. It's hella ballsy. I think the lackluster other reveals at the show was kind of overshadowed the announcement of the console, but in saying that, like, the console has been the standout announcement from the show. And they also announced Hellblade 2, Senua's Saga. Mm. And my God, does that look gorgeous? Because that whole trailer was running in-engine. Obviously pre-rendered in-engine, but still running in-engine, and it looks amazing. And anyone that's played Senua's knows that performance capture that they did, that Ninja Theory did, was just phenomenal and out of this world. And I'm keen to see how much the new extra power is going to, like, improve just that, the fidelity of that.
Mm. Yeah, it did look pretty damn amazing. And yeah. what about the look of the box? You got any thoughts or comments, or the name? Have any thoughts or comments on that?
The Xbox X. Yeah, the sex box.
It's been called that for years.
Yeah, I know. I called the sex box 360.
It'll always be the X bone to me.
Yeah, the sex bone.
Sex bone.
I don't know. I've seen a few people on Twitter, like, they're whinging about, like, the naming convention that Xbox seems to have. Phil Spencer came out and said that, and this is prior to the Game Awards, like, talking about naming it, that, like, each console iteration has had a name for a specific reason. The 360 was named so because PlayStation was bringing out the PlayStation 3, so they wanted a number that made it seem bigger and better than the PlayStation 3, hence 360. Xbox One, the idea was it was an all-in-one unit, so that's why it was the Xbox One. Series X, I'm looking forward to seeing what the reasoning for the name is here. Obviously, it's got xCloud and all Xbox Game Pass and everything else they're throwing under the bus with this thing. It's just, I don't know what the reason for the naming is, but it's unique. I think the having the XSX sort of branding, that's going to look cool when you type it out, is XSX. Maybe that's kind of where they got it from, is they wanted that sort of logo or just way of displaying it in the media.
There was market research done a very long time ago.
There definitely would have been.
I mean before Microsoft, about this. And that's one of the, if you've ever wondered why Rank Xerox or Fuji Xerox now is starts with an X and finishes with Xerox, obviously, starts with an X, finishes with an X. Market research indicated that people found that more appealing, more interesting as a name. So if the fact that they're trying to stick as many X's into the name of this new console, probably not a bad idea.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That's why X-rated movies are always the most popular.
There's three X's. Yeah.
That's true.
Also because Queenslanders can't spell beer.
No, we can't. True. I wouldn't call that beer, though.
No. 4X is a well-known brand of beer for anyone who's not aware of what the hell I was just talking about.
And there used to be a great T-shirt. I remember a guy when I was growing up used to wear that had a cow being fed buckets of Victoria Bitter, which is another beer, and then pissing out into another bucket. Forex.
I love it.
Actually, if you're ever in Brisbane, go to the Breakfast Creek Hotel, and they do Off the Wood beer, where they is an old tradition that the Forex breweries used to do back in the day, where they'd take a wood keg, drive it round to the Breakfast Creek Hotel, and then they'd pop the keg, you know, they'd cork it and everything there on site, straight out of a wooden keg. It's a really, really cool thing. It's a unique beer and something just old school. So yeah, just on the topic of Forex. Sorry.
Beer.
So yeah, if you're ever in Brisbane, that's something to definitely hit up. And they do a nice steak there as well. So yeah, worthwhile.
Yes, go now. Everyone, stop listening and go
now. Stop listening. Go now. Yeah.
Or probably just stop listening. That might be a just good piece of life advice. And what about you, David? Have you got any thoughts about the Xbox?
I'll be honest. The first I knew about this was when you mentioned it tonight, and I've just done some Googling while Ben was talking, and I like the look of it. I just find it's one of these ecosystem things. Xbox owners are going to want one. PlayStation owners, if PlayStation announce something similar, are unlikely to shift and will go on like we always do.
Well, it depends how badly Sony screws the pitch.
Yeah, true.
It does seem to alternate. I mean, the PlayStation 3, we all know what a travesty that turned out to be, although it did settle down by the right at the end of the generation, and then of course Microsoft managed to completely screw things up for the Xbox One PS4 generation. Mm. So, I don't know. Maybe no one will screw things up this time round. It will be interesting to see.
Definitely think from a platform point of view, Microsoft has spent the time and the resources building the actual platform itself to be better.
They've done a pretty impressive job of building up some fairly compelling products.
Just services in general seem to be far better at the moment.
I'll just add that the fact that it's not just a lot of the games are backwards compatible, but any of your Xbox One accessories will work with the new machines as well. So they're backwards compatible too. That's considering how Sony's been dithering on what sort of level of implementation they'll be able to get for backwards compatibility. We'll just have to see how that plays out.
Combine that with Game Pass and how that's already working as well. I don't know. They just built a really solid platform. It's a good foundation to move into the next generation.
It is a good foundation. David, sorry, I cut you off.
No, it was only a bleeding obvious point anyway, that all these consoles now are just upgrading your performance and, you just said, your platforms. So it's, you know, gone to obviously the old days where, you know, you went from Nintendo to Super Nintendo and it was, well, this, what cartridge, how will this fit? You know, how will the whole thing run? Well, none of that applies anymore. It's purely, most of us download the games and it's about how fast they run and the graphic clarity of them.
I think people do tend to be a lot more portable with these sorts of things now, although obviously with the everyone having such a big digital library now, which wasn't a thing with the current generation first came in, that makes shifting from one to the other difficult, although any game you bought for the PS4 is still going to work on your PS4. So even if you did end up not getting the PS5 immediately, but you got the Xbox Series X because it looks better and it's got a more compelling game launch library. There's a lot of factors here, but the fact that if you're a Nintendo household, you'd stay in Nintendo household. There probably still some are that do that, but most people are a lot more mutable, a lot more swing voters, so to speak.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts on it? No. I think it looks amazing, by the way. I just realised that unusually I didn't state my opinion on it.
A lot of people are complaining about its size, probably not going to fit in TV cabinets and stuff like that as well. I can understand that, but like most people with their consoles, they seem to stand them up these days anyway. I know I do.
Well, a lot of people have their TVs mounted to the walls, so TV cabinets are kind of a bit of an archaic way of thinking. But the thing can lay on its side. So there's that.
And Phil Spencer also has now actually taken one back to his home because, you know, he's Mr. Xbox. But
damn sure I would.
He's got it inside his TV cabinet apparently, lying down. There's been mention of that too. So I'd say here. Yeah. It's going to fit in the majority of TV cameras. I don't think they were going to be, strange things have happened, but I don't think they'd be stupid enough to go, oh, we can't make it, so it's not going to fit in the majority of TV cabinets.
Well, like, it's the height of three Xbox controllers, which would actually make it less tall than one of the current Xbox consoles. So, and it's about as wide as one as well. So I think you'd have to have a pretty small cabinet to not be able to get it in one way or another if you're a granddad and you still have a TV cabinet.
And that PS4, I mean, I have standing up, and it's a big mother. Like, it's not going to be bigger than that. Yeah.
Like, I've got my PS4 Pro standing up, and it takes up a lot of room because it's got the Spider-Man logo on the side of it as well. So I want that logo facing out from the wall as well. So it takes up a huge amount of real estate. But I think it was IGN did a YouTube video where they did a mock-up of what they perceive the size of the console to be. Mm-hmm. They compared it to what they see with the size of the controller, because they know the Xbox One the One controller is going to be a little bit bigger than the Series X controller. Mm. And they, you know, had it side by side with the One X and the PS4 Pro, and yes, you know, height wise definitely significantly smaller. But yeah, it'll be cool to see when they actually start releasing some of these specs and things like that. I'm keen for it. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, and speaking of favorites, which we weren't really, but I can't be bothered. What is your favorite Christmas movie? Says the running sheet. So David, out of nowhere for some reason, what is your favorite Christmas movie?
I didn't put that one in. That must have been Ben.
I did put it in, but like, that was in there well and truly before we got on the call today.
It was.
I know, but I only just sort of fully absorbed what those words combined were asking. Yeah. So
I don't really have one. Funny though, I did see last night, and it's not often if you grew up in or born in the 70s and grew up in the 80s that you see a music video clip that you've never seen before. But I actually saw a version of Cyndi Lauper's Goonies song that I'd never seen the clip before. And I actually thought at the time, Goonies, I should make that a Christmas tradition, even though it's not a Christmas movie. It's not even set in winter like Die Hard. But if I had
Die Hard set at a Christmas party.
Yeah, there is that too, but that's only a minor factual point.
That's all that matters, isn't it?
That's right. So Goonies, for no particular reason, otherwise I'd have to say the Star Wars Christmas special with Lumpy, just for old time's sake.
That's not a movie.
No, true.
It's an hour and a half long. It may as well be.
Yeah, it's a telly movie. That's what I'm going to call it.
Oh, dear.
Well, I'm going to say Die Hard 2. That is something we are absolutely going to be watching this Christmas, mm-hmm. possibly at gunpoint. Ben, what about you?
I'm going to say Gremlins.
Oh, yeah. That's a good choice.
Yeah. I mean, the reason why I threw this in the run sheet is because I actually, on Netflix, there's a little series called The Movies That Made Us. It's only about six episodes long, I think. And one of them was Home Alone. I think it's just the first season. But one of the episodes was about Home Alone, and it's being an obvious Christmas movie as well. And I just watched it. It was fascinating watching how they made, like, the what they had to go through to actually get that movie started and begin production, because it was originally a Warner Brothers film. Warner Brothers actually cancelled the project, and the same day that they cancelled the project, Fox, it just straight away turned over to being a Fox project. And it's actually kind of a fascinating story of how that all came about. That's what inspired me to put that down as a topic for tonight, I should say.
That's a good one. So that's on Netflix, and the title of the show again was?
I think it's called The Movies That Made Us.
Yeah.
There's one on Ghostbusters. Home Alone was one of them.
Star Wars Christmas Special.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think that was in there. I can't remember what the other ones were, but they're all movies that everyone would know. I think Die Hard was actually one of them as well, from memory.
Good, good.
Yeah.
On the subject of Ghostbusters, who caught the new trailer?
No, I must watch that. I just know there's a car in the field.
God, how can we have a pop culture podcast that talks endlessly about politics and Brexit if you don't watch the trailers, David? Yeah. We'll have to cancel this thing right now.
All right.
This is why we're cancelling it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. There's a reason why the word indefinite is in front of hiatus.
No, I refuse to watch this new one in solidarity with the last Ghostbusters movie, which I haven't seen but love.
Oh, Ghostbusters 2 was okay.
No, come on.
Sorry, I don't know what you're talking about.
No, of course you don't. That was me standing in solidarity with you, Gail, who I have to mention on this last podcast.
Yeah, Finn Wolfhard, it seems to be the flavour of the month for any kid in a movie, I guess.
Yeah, well, he does seem to have found a niche, or at least as long as his age or apparent age can hold out.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Him and I've forgotten her name that plays 11 in Stranger Things.
Bobby Millie, Hannah, Bobby Brown, something?
Yeah.
Her name's in there somewhere. I just can't remember.
I know you've got it in there somewhere. I just don't remember what it is. Oh,
but,
God.
Yeah, people have been comparing it to Stranger Things. It made me think more of the Goonies, honestly.
Stranger Things is basically based on every single 80s movie anyway.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much so. There's an awful lot of reference pulling. So really anything that draws any 80s movie that had themes like that is going to be reminiscent of Stranger Things, because Stranger Things is reminiscent of everything apart from possibly, they did Terminator in the last season. So, yeah, no, pretty much any 80s franchises had been referenced to some degree in Stranger Things. So, yeah.
Was Predator comparison, 98? That kind of counts.
There's a flavour on it, a soupçon.
I was just thinking the Demogorgon's kind of got that whole Predator vibe in the first one.
No, not talking about it, no. Have you watched season 3?
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe it was just me, but I was getting a definite Terminator.
Oh, no, I got Terminator vibe from the season 3 one. Yeah, I know what you're talking about there. What about Predator? Was Predator in there somewhere?
Oh, Predator, sorry.
Is Predator? I'm thinking the Demogorgon kind of lines up with the Predator.
Yeah, sort of a bit of Predator, a bit of Alien.
Yeah.
Because there's a good amount of body horror in there, which was a feature of the original Alien, and I suppose the Aliens, the others aren't sort of stricken from my memory.
And actually, now that I think about it, there's a little bit of Nightmare on Elm Street in the season 3 too, with the, like, when Eleven's doing the mind thingy where she's going through like the sort, I guess it's kind of like a dreamscape sort of thing almost.
Yeah. Oh, there's so much good stuff in that show. So going back to Ghostbusters briefly, how did you feel about the trailer?
I just watched it.
It doesn't seem very much like a comedy.
No.
My first impression. I mean, Paul Rudd's in it, so there's going to be some laughs, but.
Not yet. Not yet, but
it just seemed too serious. That's my issue with it, because I remember Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd and Harold Ramis,
Yeah, but I think they might be doing the smart way, which Lucasfilm didn't quite manage to get right with their attempted relaunch and reboot, is that they are introducing the new characters. They're introducing a link and a new setting, because I've got to admit, what I was expecting from the trailer was to see New York, see a few flashes of the old cast, and then hear Ray Parker Jr.'s, or a remix of, but hopefully the original, kick in. And then and none of that was in this. And at the end of it, I was watching it and thought, I know this is a Ghostbusters movie. I didn't get what I was expecting from it, but I'm actually I'm keen to see what comes next, because there's obviously going to be the trailers will build on each other.
I'd say curious.
Oh no, yeah. I'm quite keen. I'm definitely intrigued as to where this is going, because I liked what I saw. It wasn't what I expected.
I'm not saying it looked bad. I'm just saying I think when I think of the Ghostbusters movies, I think of comedies, and that didn't make me think of a comedy.
No, although he had a good line under the table, and there was a couple of little jokes in there. But as you say, it wasn't a lot. But then you don't want to blow your load and give all the best lines in a trailer, especially the first trailer. Yeah, this is just to whet people's appetite. So yes, I'm feeling quite positive about it. I would say that it subverted my expectations, but in a good way.
What did you think of the Wonder Woman 84 trailer?
Oh my God, I love that. That was just freaking amazing.
That was a bit John Michael House in there, mate. You sounded a bit John Michael House in there.
Well, it just brings out the gay, you know. Not saying he was.
No.
He was. No. No.
Nothing definitely. Wrong with that.
But I got to admit, I'm a bit of a sucker for things where if they cutting on the beat is just a really good way of punching things up and imbuing energy into something. And I really like the remix of Blue Monday as well. That was interesting.
I'm surprised we didn't actually get to see a lot of Chitara in it. Wait, no, is it? No, it's Cheetah in DC. I'm thinking Chitara is from Thundercats. Oops, getting my Cheetah ladies mixed up.
I know you're a dedicated furry, so that's fair enough. The thing. Wow. Okay. Apparently, a lot more millennials are, according to something I was reading recently.
Oh, don't jump on TikTok, whatever you do.
Oh Lord, no.
Although some of them, they've got like little they've like rigged up the mouths, so they're like animated too. So they actually animate the mouths, which is kind of cool from a puppetry point of view. But yeah, otherwise, sorry, carry on.
Oh yeah, no, I've seen those. It's pretty amazing. They move the lips, but the lips are also articulated, so they can kind of do a sneer or a smile. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I was impressed when I saw cosplayers doing Spider-Man masks, and they got the eyes lenses to open. I mean, that's great. I'd love to get a Deadpool costume together with something like that. But although with Deadpool, you just need to do a bit of a squint and raise the eyebrows periodically. And that would pretty much cover off most of his interactions. Okay, so I think we can both agree that the trailer for Wonder Woman or WW84 and Ghostbusters were a promising start and didn't show too much too early or too little, more importantly. Hmm. Okay, David, you got any thoughts?
No, I mean, I just watched it then and I understand why they put old Finn in there in the main role, but the subject matter is so close to Stranger Things, they're just going to constantly cop that, but they probably will sell tickets, so you can see why they did it.
I think it's a case of Stranger Things being more akin to Ghostbusters.
Oh, yeah. No, I understand that, but, I mean, this movie's been made in the last couple of years, and there's no way when they cast him they weren't thinking about the impact Stranger Things has had for the younger generation.
Have you made your kids watch Ghostbusters out of curiosity?
Sorry, can you imagine watching the original ones?
Yeah, have you made your kids watch the original Ghostbusters at all or anything like that?
I think it may have come on free to air, but no, short answer.
They probably haven't seen them or anything like that. So they would probably like look at that sort of thing and go, "Oh, that looks like Stranger Things."
Exactly.
So like, there's a lot of these kids. Like, I know I've talked to someone that said they'd never seen Back to the Future before, and I'm like, "What? How? It's such a fantastic series, and it holds up."
Okay, boomer.
Yeah, it was one of those things. Like, but it just seems so foreign to like us to say that these guys haven't seen these sorts of films or anything like that. Right. So,
that's one of the interesting things. Apart from Home Alone being retooled and remade for Disney Plus, because Disney has no ideas, they're also going, and this I do approve of, they are going to apparently revive John Carter, which as a series, which I think could be really good. There's a lot of books, a lot of John Carter books, quite a few John Carter books, so there's plenty of source material to to draw on. So it'd be really interesting to see that. But if for those of you who didn't see it, which judging from the box office was most of you, the John Carter movie that was made was often criticized for being too derivative. And they were talking about stuff that was actually derived from the books.
Like
just
Star
for
Wars.
Context. Like Star Wars, exactly. Well, more interesting than that, it was actually an inspiration for Buck Rogers and what was the other one?
Superman.
Battlestar Galactica?
No, there are two serials at about the same time. There was Buck Rogers and the one that inspired Star Wars. George Lucas wanted to buy the rights, and I had the name a second ago.
Oh, yeah, I read this the other day.
The Magnificent Seven, no.
No, it's another sci-fi. It's a sci-fi. Oh, God, you... Okay, I can't...
No, right, just when he said the Magnificent Seven, I thought, geez, how far off base do you want to go? Yeah,
Last
Buck
Samurai.
Rogers. See, I can only think of Buck Rogers and Battlestar Galactica. What's the other big one?
Lost in Space.
Oh, this is killing me because I know it. And
Roger
I've just
Ramjet.
Heard...
Blake Seven.
you're a horrible human being.
Rocky Bullwinkle.
Blake Seven's Rocky better than Bullwinkle. Roger Ramjet. Danger Mouse. All right.
Hey, Rocky, watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat.
You're Googling it
okay.
now, Simon, aren't you?
The name I was struggling for, and yes, I did have to Google it. Luckily, I remember the actor's. At least I remember the actor's name. So Buster Crabb was in Flash Gordon. Flash Gordon was an antecedent of Star Wars, inspiration for Star Wars. That's what Lucas. So John Carter inspired Flash Gordon, which inspired Star Wars.
Yeah.
And it, quite honestly, it inspired a bunch of other stuff. So this is one of the funny things, because everything kind of gets recycled and reused, you start trying to draw on the original source material and people go, that's derivative of that. So that's the problem that Ghostbusters is going to have with the Stranger Things comparison.
Oh, that's the point you were trying to get to.
That's the point I was trying to get to. And if you'd been more helpful, I could have got here sooner. Damn, dude.
I think we need to break this podcast up. It's just not working.
No, yeah. Cancel.
You really expected us to be bloody helpful.
Just you know, Ben, I'm doxing you right now. Anyway, I think it's time for a musical interlude, so I can just
get away from
these idiots.
Hurdy-gurdy.
So let me see what else. Oh, no, I can't think of anything. Can't think of anything awkward. But musical interlude, random music. Insert here now.
Hurdy-gurdy.
Right, and I will or won't insert hurdy-gurdy here.
You're leaving this in, I know you are.
But I might put the music in as well.
Oh, yeah, put it in as a bedding for this inane dribble. Why don't you?
Background noise, buddy, like Three Stooges sort of style.
Yeah.
And we're back, assuming we ever left.
The last segment ever. Ooh.
Last segment ever. Are you ready? Because I'm really ready. Mandalorian is still expletive brilliant, according to the running sheet.
Yeah, I did that. So I watched the sixth episode today, and obviously we'll avoid spoilers. But the fifth one I found a bit slow, but 1, 2, 3, 4 loved. Fifth one, I don't know what it was, whether I was just a bit tired. Didn't get into it as much, but the sixth one is, back to form. Loved it. It can barely set a foot wrong, that show. I wish they would take note of this for some of the movies.
Oh, don't worry. There won't be any more movies for a while. Ben, have you been watching The Mandalorian?
I've still only seen the first two episodes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have to admit, I've seen the first couple of episodes and I've decided that one reason or another, I think this show might have been designed to be binged. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm saving the last four episodes up and see if binging works better. The pacing seems a little odd, although I like the general, I like the tone, I like the flavor of it so far. So it's promising. it's promising, and maybe the future will look a bit more Star Warsy and feel a bit more Star Warsy, which would be great.
Just on two things on pacing, I agree it's a bit all over the place, and it actually reminds me a bit of The Walking Dead in that you go from these long stretches of not much happening to this frenetic pace for a short period of time. But still loving it. The other thing is I've heard rumours, but that this series is actually providing a direct link to the last, like the Rise of Skywalker movie. Now, obviously, from a timeline viewpoint, that doesn't make sense, but apparently there's some information disclosed that will link directly to the next movie.
Whose Siri just went off?
Yeah, sorry, that was me.
Well, at least we know someone's listening.
That's right. Hey, Siri. Yeah.
Hey, Siri.
I'm sorry, David. I can't help you with podcast ratings.
That's right. So, yeah, look, it's a lot of fun. And I said after our last discussion, I did subscribe to Disney Plus, and I've only watched that on it and a few episodes of The Simpsons. So whether I get my $80 worth across the year, although I'd argue The Mandalorian alone, it's probably made it worth half that value easily.
Kids haven't sat down and watched any Disney films or anything yet?
No, not as yet.
No overly racist crows in Dumbo? Or
No, not that I've noticed. The original Dumbo.
I thought they edited them out.
They might have too. The original Dumbo movie is one of the most boring movies ever. My parents gave us that DVD for my kids when they were little, and I must have sat through that 3 or 4 times, and God, it's boring.
Yeah, what else was there? There's, yeah, lots of those sorts of movies on there, but they were, like, apparently they're putting, like, disclaimers at the start of these films to say, oh, there's, like, outdated views and things like, basically to cover the fact that some of these films were quite racist. Yeah. Or what would be seen as racist now, even though back in the day they weren't.
I think it's entirely appropriate that they should point out and apologise for people not thinking exactly the same way that some people think now, because, I mean, that would be terrible. What a crime that would be. What horrible, horrible people everyone who doesn't think exactly like you must be.
Yep.
Now, let's get a diversity of opinions on The Outer Worlds. David, I believe you may have had a go at that.
Yeah, and actually finished it. So I mentioned last show that I'd bought it and was enjoying the hell out of it. I think it only done 7 or 8 hours. Someone said the actual campaign could be up to 30 hours. I don't think I was that long, but I was probably a solid 22, 23 hours. Loved it start to finish. Did a lot of the side quests. In fact, the majority that I found, but there are probably others I didn't find. Just extremely well done. Hope to God they do a sequel.
There's DLC already announced too.
Oh, is there? Oh, cool.
Yes.
Yeah, excellent. So, no, really enjoyed it. We'll definitely be going back to play it more and even tempted to do a replay through because there is enough variety in it. You can play the storyline so many ways that I'd like to try other ones.
Well, if you're talented, you could speed run it in 12 minutes.
Yeah, so that's just madness. I can understand you'd have to study it closely. I could see how you could, but Jesus. You wouldn't be able to do that in Destiny 2 with their load screens.
No, not at all. But yeah, they managed to. There's actually I think it's an IGN video, but there's a video on YouTube where the developers are actually sitting down to watch someone speedrun it and complete it in 12 minutes. And the whole way through, they're just watching it going, oh, wow, so they're doing this. And then, oh, they're skipping that. Oh, look, they jumped over this wall to get into here quicker. And then, oh, they went outside and then loaded. It was quicker for them to load out and load back in and kill the enemies to reset the enemy spawn points so that they could actually use the computer because they can't use the computer while they're under fire. Like, crazy little things like that. Okay. And, yeah, so getting the just getting to the end of the game in 12 minutes, they're like, wow, we thought we put all these hard roadblocks in to stop people from doing that, and lo and behold, they've done it.
Yeah. And whether you do it in 12 minutes or 23 hours, I said I enjoyed it a lot. And would like to go back. I've headed back into Destiny 2 at the moment and enjoying the hell out of that again. But, yeah, that's good about the DLC. I'm keen on that.
Yeah.
I find it interesting how much time is wasted doing speedruns.
Yeah, sort of defeats the purpose, doesn't it? Particularly of a story-driven game.
Oh, well, yeah, there's that. But I think it's also pretty cool that they managed to break the game so much that they can do it that quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, as someone who's spent a fair bit of time finding holes in the maps in SWTOR so I could jump through them and just sort of dive forever, yeah, sometimes you just have to make your own fun.
Yeah.
Just out of curiosity, have either of you played Fallen Order?
Yeah, we talked about it last episode. I loved it. I finished it. I still loved it. It's apparently, I'm guessing it's being patched by now, but I think people were finding it was much more buggier on the PlayStation than the Xbox version. The Xbox version still has some bugs, but the PC version that I played, there's only a couple of points that I'd say were glitchy, and I only had one crash through my entire playthrough. So
that's pretty good.
I didn't find it very buggy at all, and I had a fantastic experience with the game. It's a very vanilla Star Wars story. There's nothing great about it, but still a reasonably good Star Wars story, though, in saying that. The only gameplay things I didn't like was the overuse of the sliding downhill mechanic. Like the wall running wasn't too bad, but the rope swings were kind of annoying until you get to your force pull power where you can actually pull the ropes to you as you're in midair. But yeah, sometimes you jump and you'd completely miss it, even though you're like, I'm trying to jump directly onto this thing, but you just couldn't line the jump up properly to get it. It was very unforgiving, I should say. But yeah, I had a lot of fun with the game. I enjoyed it immensely.
And just on Star Wars, I haven't played that one, Simon, but, I noticed today when booking my Disney tickets, which I'm a bit excited about, that the new part of Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, the Rise of the... can't remember what it's called. Anyway.
Rise of the Resistance.
That's it. Rise of the Resistance is launching, believe it or not, on the day I'm going to be at Disney, which worries the shit out of me in that they're going to close down fucking Galaxy's Edge because of the launch. But there's no way of me determining that. So.
Well, yeah. Hopefully they should, with a bit of luck, have most of the bugs worked out by then. There's, yeah. It's pretty ambitious, and there's literally a lot of moving parts, yeah, and a lot of components to that. And they have been having some glitches and having to evacuate people from the ride.
Okay.
Are you getting a lightsaber?
No, too much money. I literally won't be able to afford it.
It's only $200.
US.
Oh, US. $200.
Yeah.
I mean, that's only 4,000 Australian.
But then I worked out I'm going to be spending roughly 300 Australian a day on food alone. So maybe it's in comparison.
Maybe
much.
Leave the kids with grandma and grandpa.
That's right. Don't start me.
just take a packed lunch in.
Oh, look,
for the love
be...
of God, you don't. There's only so many $7 pretzels you need.
Oh, and can I say one of the things I'm glad we booked a hotel, obviously not at Disney Resort, but we've booked one that's only about 300-400 meters from the entrance to Disney. So I'm even planning to escape there for an hour. Like we'll spend 16 hours there or whatever on that one day, but we'll get out of there and go somewhere a hell of a lot cheaper to eat.
Well, it's good you won't have to rely on the Skyliner.
No, that's right.
Yeah, they've been having a bit of a rough time lately.
Yeah. So no, anyway. Look, I'm excited. And I mean, geez, it's not cheap. I knew it wasn't cheap, but I booked the tickets today and it's like, well, there's 500 and something US for one day before you actually spend anything in the park.
Well, they'll be bumping the prices up again at the end of the year, or is it January? It's gone up. They've made it very expensive and it's about to get more expensive. So at least you don't have to deal with the price rise.
True. Should be fun.
Mm.
It should. Well, enjoy your holiday and your Christmas and New Year. And Ben, the same to you. If you haven't been able to guess, I'm wrapping this thing up.
But we've got to do the sentimental farewell, haven't we?
No.
Oh, okay.
What was sentimental about it?
Well, true, because we may do a reunion special.
No, that's a great idea. I like the idea of that. Yes. Following will be 10 minutes of the best moments from
I'm not doing that.
Be careful what you ask for, buddy.
Yeah.
I can make you suffer. There's many different ways.
What I am happy to do is
all of you suffer.
Is following is 420 hours of just, you know, all of Flashpoint and this end to end. I can easily do that.
Yes. How about a supercut of Ed's evil laugh?
God bless him. Hope you're well, Ed, wherever you are.
Yeah, wherever you are. Okay. So, yes, happy holidays.
And do
new year.
Do we provide our contact details for when we get the avalanche of begging to continue?
Well, we'll just do a bit of a go around. So we will call this a show. This is the official wind up. So, David, where can people get a hold of you?
I'm just trying to think what the best one. Let's go with twitter.com/invalidpod until I change it to something else. Otherwise, yeah, the invalidopinionspodcast.com website will remain for the indefinite future.
Okay. Ben, what's the best way to get hold of you?
Yeah, keep me on Twitter at the Spawny 13, SPAWNY13. Yeah, that's probably the easiest way to get a hold of me.
If you want to give us your home address as well?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
Well, I thought you were doxing him. You should already know that.
You should already have it, but I'm moving soon anyway, so it doesn't really
matter. Oh,
there you go. Oh, okay. Let me just make a quick note of that.
And just another thing too, for all of those out there that are trying to work out why we're finishing up, it doesn't involve Yoko either. There's no Yoko in the equation.
No, although one of us has certainly been trying that. haven't they?
Yep.
Ben. And if you want to get hold of me for God only knows what reason, you can get me on Twitter, RPGBeatsRL. And if you want to hear any of the previous episodes, you can go to Invalid Opinion Podcast or Invalid Opinions Podcast, oneword.com, or go to, we've got a Facebook. Oh,
yeah.
It's always good to find this out. Invalid Opinions Podcast on Facebook. And as David already said, Twitter, you can get us on Invalid Pod.
Are there any other podcasts you want to pimp? So, I mean, because we've got such a huge audience, in case any of you out there are keyboard players, I do a keyboard players podcast. So I'm aiming for even lower audience numbers than this by doing something that niche, but it's called The Keyboard Chronicles and you can find it on all good podcast services and it'll probably come out once every 14 months.
Okay.
How many podcasts have you got, Ben? We've got limited time.
Okay, we've got heaps of time. Gaming, check out The Hungry Gamers. There's also the 8-Bit Cast, which is the Patreon-funded podcast. Then there's also the Comedy Rewind podcast, which is basically a look back at 90s comedy films. I think that's all I'll probably Rook for the time being. A friend of mine's podcast, actually, I want to promote. It's called Pushing Through Blue, which is about mental health and depression. My friend Dane Pevy. Definitely worth a check out. He's a great guy, and some of the topics that he discusses with his guests is if you want to talk about mental health and things like that, it's a really good podcast.
Okay. Well, I will spruik a podcast I have nothing to do with. If you haven't already, start listening to Sacred Symbols with Colin Moriarty and Chris Reagan. Worth a listen. Good guys, interesting opinions.
And do you guys record my aspect of the audio? Because I just realized I didn't hit record.
Nope.
Oh. On anything?
Nah, I'm only joking. Keep going.
And this is why this is the last episode.
Because I ain't doing this again.
That's right. No, that's what I thought. No, it's all good.
All right. Well, what we could do is Ben and I will send you our audio and then you can just improvise responses in the middle there.
Wherever you find some blank space, there is just to feed some stuff in. We're certainly not doing a reminisce, but there was one episode where for some reason something was lost and I actually thought I was going to have to put all your bits in and then try and work out what to say in between your bits re-recorded. But luckily I managed to avoid it.
You leave my bits out of this, Sunshine.
Sorry.
Jesus Christ.
All right. Love you, boys. Love you long time. I think we'll be back. It's like Cheers. It'll be either Frasier or a Cheers reunion podcast. You mark my words.
Any last words, Ben?
Please make it end.
Okay. But thank you, everyone who has been listening to us. It is appreciated. Sadly, there just wasn't quite enough of you. And we are just moving in different directions as people, and Ben's a bit of a dick. Yeah. So,
and Jay and I are going to do a podcast because he rocks.
Did we discuss this with Jay?
No, he doesn't know yet. Sorry, Jay, I'll be in touch. Yeah.
Okay. So
don't hold your breath, Jay.
We're winding this up now. Okay. So thank you again, everyone, and have a wonderful holiday season, a lovely 2020. May God bless and keep you, if that's your predisposition. Also, let me just finish off.
May Satan have mercy on us all.
I really need to meet you in the flesh so I can just punch you in the face. And let me just end by saying Trump 2020. Have a wonderful Christmas.
Trump 2024. Oh, don't forget Trump 2024.
Trump 2028. you know you want it. God Emperor forever.
Oh, I'm turning the recording off now. Thank you.